Welcome to the VIP Experience Podcast, a weekly conversation about mental health and personal development. I am your host, Vipin Farkya. For today's conversation, we have with us Dr. K.C. Chawda, who is a practicing psychiatrist in Bandra, Mumbai. He was also the chairperson of the task force of the Indian Psychiatric Society dealing with the LGBTQ community. They even managed to issue a position statement that was quoted in the landmark judgment by the two of the five learned judges when they repealed Section 377. So let's get into it. Hi, sir. Let's start with defining what LGBTQ plus really means. Let's go step by step and let's define each and every word so that our audience doesn't get confused or, you know, they understand what it really means.
Okay, so there are various ways of describing the various people who are in that particular group.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at L, it's lesbian, and lesbian is basically a woman who's sexually attracted towards another woman.
Yeah.
Right? This also comes under the rubric of gay, but lesbians would prefer to be called lesbian rather than gay.
Mm.
We have B, which means bisexual,
hmm.
Where you're sexually attracted towards both men and women.
Yeah.
You have the gay community, you have gay, which is more homosexual inclination in the man rather than in the woman. But though, like I said, that you can even talk about lesbians as gay. Queer is the rubric term, it's the umbrella term which encompasses everybody, LGBTQ.
Everybody. Okay.
And T is the transgender, where you have a man who feels that he's actually a woman trapped inside a male body, or a woman who feels that she's trapped inside a male, that she's a male trapped inside a woman, woman's body. So you have either a trans woman or a trans male, respectively. We also have another group of the I, which is intersex, where you have issues related to both men and women inside them, the actual genetics and so on. And you have A, which is the asexual, where you're actually not sexually inclined at all, which doesn't necessarily mean that you're aromantic as well, because you could have a lot of romance and yet not be sexually inclined.
Oh.
So this is the entire totality of what we are looking at. All right, so now let's just talk in general about the various kinds of issues that we see when we are dealing with the LGBT community.
Yeah.
To begin with, there are a whole bunch of myths related to LGBT, and I'll just like to talk about some of them. One of the myths is that, it's a lifestyle disease, so that somebody suddenly gets up and says, you know, I want to become gay and so on and so forth, and that's absolute nonsense.
Mm.
Today, we are moving towards everything being structural, everything being anatomical. So it's very, very likely that in a few years I'd actually be able to look at a brain of a PET scan of a person who's in this community, and we can actually see changes in structures in the brain. We can see changes in the circuits in the brain which make a person more predisposed to being one kind of towards one kind of sexuality rather than the other. The other thing that we see also is that, you know, a lot of people say that if you're rich, you can afford to be gay, but if you're poor, you can't. And that's, again, nonsense. I have a whole bunch of clients coming up to me from all kinds of from all ends of society, economic and otherwise. We have them coming from all kinds of society. They're all extremely upset. Nobody really, is very comfortable with what they're at. Mm. And that's how we get them from every economic status.
Mm.
We have to get up with the idea that, by and large, society is fairly homophobic.
Yeah.
Now, you might be part of a very open society, you might be part of a very good, a very open family, but it's very unlikely that you're actually going to be discussing the possibility of being gay at your breakfast table. It doesn't really happen. So most of us grow up finding gay to be funny, finding gay to be something to be avoided. And then when you yourself start finding that you are having attractions toward the same sex or whatever, then it starts making you feel very uncomfortable, and then you have to come out first to your own self. So this whole concept of coming out, which we talk about in terms of allowing the other person, in the significant others in your life, to know that you are sexually inclined in a particular, towards a particular kind of orientation. First, normally we say you have to come out to yourself, because a lot of us actually are in denial of the fact that, you know, there could be a possibility that you are either gay yourself. So only after you kind of confront yourself and get acceptance in your own mind about what your orientation is, is it even possible for us to actually talk to somebody else about the fact that we might be belonging to the particular community. So internalized homophobia is actually very, very big an issue. And a lot of kids and a lot of adults find it very difficult to face up to the fact that they may be having a particular orientation, especially if they're coming from an extremely conservative background. It becomes even more difficult. It becomes even more difficult because when you feel that your parents are not going to support you, or they're going to get very angry with you, or they're going to throw you out of the house, then that becomes a major issue. Not surprisingly, then, the incidence of depression and anxiety is extremely high in this particular community. A lot of it is related to the fact that they find it difficult to come out. A lot of it is related to the fact that society still looks at them a little askance. They're not very happy with it. And that causes a major issue. In addition to that, we are also looking at the possibility, or we are looking at the fact that suicides are extremely high in this group, probably again related to the fact of being non-accepted by the community. We've got Section 377, which has just been repealed, which is fantastic. So now at least the person can go and seek help without being scared that he's going to be treated like a criminal, or he's going to be arrested, that he's not going to be blackmailed by and large, that the cops are not going to do things against his just because he's gay. So it's an extremely important part, and it's an extremely important verdict which has come about, and we expect that the gay community will seek help much, much more than what they're already doing currently. We're also looking at the fact that there's this whole thing of the HIV and the sexual AIDS epidemic, etc., etc., which used to be considered to be basically a gay or a homosexual disease. Today, just because there has been so much more education in the field, we are actually finding that the rates of HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases are actually falling in this community. People are taking more and more precautions. They're taking all the necessary things that have to be done in order to prevent transmission of the disease. So we are actually finding the gay, the HIV incidents falling in this community, while it may not be falling as much in the heterosexual community.
So earlier it was high because they did not know how to protect themselves.
Earlier it was high because they did not bother too much about protecting themselves. And to some extent, maybe there is a little bit of promiscuity more than normal. There is much more, there's supposed to be much more sexual stuff happening between the community, though even that now is being negated. So we do find people from this community living in very long-term, secure, you know, monogamous relationships, which may not have been true some time ago, but and which then means that the chances of sexually transmitted diseases is much less than what it used to be.
So earlier, like, changing of partners was more common,
considered to be very common, even though there's not been too much of research done on that. It was considered that there was much, much more sexual activity amongst this group than in, maybe in the heterosexual group, but that is now being changed.
So, like, coming back to the part where you said that there are PET scans that are coming up. So I just wanted to know that, is there some way that you you realize a person's, like, how do you know someone's sexual orientation without themselves knowing it? Like,
well, you don't. Right now we don't. And we don't even want to get into it. Why would I want to know how about another person's sexual, what another person's sexual orientation is? Doesn't bother me in the least. You have to realize that, you know, nobody really should bother about what a person's sexual orientation is. I mean, if you go to a doctor, what difference does it make what how he's oriented? If you go to a lawyer, does it matter? If you go to a judge, does it matter? What matters is the kind of person he is. You can have fantastic people who are oriented one way or the other. And why would it change the way you look at the person? Let's also get away with the idea that, you know, if you're gay, then you're going to be doing things and you're going to be jumping on a same sex and all. I'm heterosexual, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to jump on a woman. I mean, I will use my own intelligence. I'll use my own social norms. I'll use my upbringing, and I will react appropriately with the opposite sex. And the same is true for homosexuality.
Exactly.
So we have a lot of people who come in and say, oh, but they're going to jump on you and all. And that's absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
First of all, you're probably not attracted to them anyway, attractive to them anyway. And secondly, they will also be using their own sense of discretion, just like a heterosexual would. It doesn't necessarily mean that just because you're gay, that means you're disinhibited and you're going to jump at everything that you find attractive.
Yeah, I think like what you mentioned right now, it's been shown in a lot of television shows and I think movies as well.
Wherein so the media may not represent any community well.
So
it's not surprising that they don't really represent the gay community well. This whole thing of, you know, the limp-handed, girly-looking, flouncing, very colorful person is a caricature.
Yeah.
And while you might have some people like that, the normal person is certainly not. He's just as conservative as you or I. And I think he needs to be given that respect.
I think this is very important. Like, people just associate being gay as being more colorful, cheerful, and all those things.
And it's nice to be colorful and cheerful, but that's not necessarily the norm. Believe me, there are a lot of people from that community who are as conservative or as staid as you or I.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So one of the things that I've really seen is like, it's improving right now is like people highlighting that they have put transgender people in their workforces. But the real issue is that they were being discriminated before, and I really think it's not good to keep highlighting them. It's good to include them, but making themselves as your marketing or selling point is something...
Well, I think that happens initially because things have changed right now. So everybody wants to get onto the bandwagon in a sense and say we are doing very good stuff, which is wonderful. But let's not get away with the idea that there is still no discrimination. There's discrimination everywhere.
Okay.
I mean, even though the 377 has been repealed, nothing has happened socially, which means technically, you know, when I die, my stuff will in my will be given to my wife and my kid. Now, if there were two partners living together, he would not be in a position to do that.
Oh, yeah.
So that becomes a major issue in terms of being a partner, because that is not acceptable as yet.
Yeah.
So lots of things have to change. When you're looking at discrimination, most of us, for example, are teased. So you have jokes about Bengalis and about Parsis and about Sardars and about so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But all the jokes are nice. They're gentle. They're not vicious. You know, people laugh with you rather than at you, by and large. When jokes are cracked at the LGBT community, there's a sign of viciousness in them. You're demeaned. You're made to feel small. You're made to feel abnormal. You're made to feel like a freak. And that discrimination comes through very, very much. And that is something that we need to guard against. We need to make every person feel that whatever be his sexual orientation is immaterial. He's still an important human being. He's still a nice human being. He's not a freak. He's not abnormal. And that discriminative thing, once that goes, then we'll be in a better inclusive society, which I think is so very important, considering that a fair amount of people do fall in this community. Their various studies have shown anything from 5 to 12%. So that's a huge number of people who are in this community, and we cannot allow them to feel that they are horrible people or that they are ostracized or that they should not be alive. And that's nonsense. So one of the most important things that we need to do as a nice, caring, gentle society, if we ever aiming towards that, is to also incorporate the sexual minorities in this. And of course, this becomes a sexual minority.
So, do you think like putting this into our education curriculum will help?
First of all, I think the most important thing that has been done is to decriminalize it. And I think that's fantastic. And we are so happy that the Indian Psychiatric Society has done a little bit in its own way. And that our position statement has been quoted by two of the five learned judges when they actually repealed the section. They actually mentioned the Indian Psychiatric Society's position statement.
Nice.
So that is wonderful. But yes, there's a lot more that needs to be done. There's a lot more in terms of education, and a lot of us are educating people. We're having seminars for teachers, seminars for kids. We are being invited to schools by principals who are aware of the fact that there is a lot of homosexuality or other stuff happening in their schools.
Yeah.
That kids are feeling upset and angry. They're very often they're bullied. you know, you have names like you're walking like a chakka, you're looking like a gay.
Hmm.
All of those things are extremely discriminatory, and we need to guard against this.
Hmm.
Because we might think it's funny and amusing,
yeah.
but it can be very, very demeaning, very hurtful to the person concerned.
Yeah.
So we've got to attempt at least to try not to allow that to happen.
Yeah, I think words like these have been normalized in our society, that it's okay to call them that, but it's actually hurtful for them.
It's
and
very hurtful.
I think education is something that we discussed with Dr. Arman as well. He is taking sexuality education classes and they talk about all these things. And I think that is something really important.
That is something important.
So, in terms of, what do you think that as soon as, like, I'm not sure about this, but as soon as the Article 377 was abolished, a lot of companies just changed their logo and put the pride flag as their logo.
Sure. I think that's wonderful in a sense, because it's showing solidarity with a minority.
Yeah.
And any person who shows the more the people show solidarity with the minority, the more commonplace it will become. So then we don't look at them and we say, oh, we are doing good. It's taken as, yes, we are doing good. And that's the way it should be. So then finally we'll reach a stage, hopefully, where I will interview you and I will admit you on the basis, I mean, I will give you a job on the basis of the fact that you're a good person, rather than that 5% I want to reserve for an LGBT community to show how progressive my company is.
Yeah, I think that this started at least a
conversation, and we are very optimistic about the future.
Okay. Yeah.
One of the things that we must remember is that there's a lot of wrong information floating around, and there's a lot of inadequate information.
Hmm.
So I have a lot of clients coming up to me who'd like to know more about the community. They're not absolutely certain about who to seek help from.
Yeah.
They need some support, especially if they've been ostracized by their friends or if the parents have been very punitive or very negative. So there are lots and lots of self-help groups now dealing with the LGBT. In Bombay, we have the Hamsafar Trust, which is one of the oldest things going around. We have Gay Bombay, which is there. You can get onto the net, and there's some other committees and other groups which help this community. The idea is we need to go ahead and seek help. We need to find good information, proper information, relevant information, scientific information, which is the most important thing going in terms of getting a person to start feeling that he is normal and not a freak. So please seek help if there's a problem.
Yeah, like before we end this, I think one of the major things that I've seen is there's a lot of confusion between homosexuals themselves, right? As you mentioned this, you need to come out to yourself first, and it's very important that right information goes towards it. We'll surely put all these links in our description so that people can go through it. And thank you so much for the conversation.
You're welcome.
It was lovely.
Thank you.